you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
WQAD Podcast Network.
The Cities with Jim Mertens, a production of WQPT, PBS for the Quad Cities region, a podcast in partnership with WQAD. What's going on in the Quad Cities? Activities, events, fun, politics, sports, local issues and opinions. And now, your host, Jim Mertens.
I'm Jim Mertens, and this is The Cities. It's unprecedented. A mob rushes the U.S. Capitol. Both houses of Congress suspend the official declaration of the winner of the presidential election. Instead, they flee to safety. Inside the Capitol was Democratic Representative Sherry Bustos, now starting her fifth term, and we talked with her about what she saw, but start with what should happen next. We're hearing that there is going to be articles of impeachment that could be introduced as soon as Monday. Is this something that you're supporting?
Well, I think we clearly see that we have a leader who is incapable of leading. And if he doesn't make a decision to step aside, let Vice President Pence run our country for these next this next week or so before President-elect Biden is sworn in on Inauguration Day, I think he either needs to resign. The 25th Amendment is up to Vice President Pence and the Trump cabinet. But he is a menace to our nation. And that came out loudly and clearly on Wednesday. I was on the House floor when this angry, vicious, dangerous armed mob was right outside the House floor where I was literally a few seats away from that door that goes down the center aisle where the president typically would walk through when he delivers the State of the Union. This is a mob that was egged on and was told by the President of the United States to go walk over to the Capitol. And the man who has access to the nuclear codes, who now can't even have access to his own Facebook account because he's been so menacing to our nation, I think there's real concern about this.
The last time that we are in this type of a crisis involving the White House, of course, would be Richard Nixon and the end of Watergate. And at that time, as you know from history, is that Republicans pretty much, you know, Barry Goldwater, some of the most staunchest of the supporters of Richard Nixon, said, now is the time for you to go, Mr. President. You're not necessarily hearing that from the Republicans, or are you?
Well, you had mentioned Adam Kinzinger at the start of this. Adam is standing virtually alone and calling for invoking the 25th Amendment, which would, by the way, you know, again, it's up to Vice President Pence to invoke that, needs the support of the cabinet to be supportive. But that would be the first time in the history of our nation that would be invoked, and it would lead to the removal of President Trump from office and Vice President Trump becoming president just for the rest of this term, which is at this point only a few days away. And I think it's sad that there's not more who are supportive of doing something. But you don't hear speaking out on the 25th Amendment. You don't hear much about asking for a resignation. And, you know, we are at a point in our history right now that this day will be written about for generations. This is now not just a footnote in history. This is a full chapter. These are full books in history now of what happened just this week. And, you know, I flew home yesterday after living through the most horrible day of my life and those of other members of Congress and senators who were there in the Capitol when this happened, where there were the angry mob that stormed the U.S. Capitol, this temple of democracy, who then on the flight from Washington, D.C. back to Illinois, in the middle of who knows what state we were over, thousands of feet up in the air, started a mini rally right on an airplane, telling people to take off their masks, telling people to storm their own the county GOP party when they got home, that the work still continued, disparaging an Asian woman who was sitting the next row over. I mean, it was, by the time we landed, we couldn't deplane, we couldn't get off the plane until a police officer had to come on and escort off one of these mob members. And then after the folks got off the plane and they all congregated at the terminal, more police officers had to be called in. I mean, this is what we're dealing with. These are people who call themselves patriots, who think that they are saving our democracy, but they believe these lies. They believe that this was an unfair election, that by all legitimate accounts, all of that has been, refuted. All of it has been refuted. So this is what we're dealing with right now.
I bring up Watergate and Richard Nixon and the Republicans talking to Richard Nixon only by the fact that if the Democrats go this alone in the coming week, doesn't that just further create a schism between the Democrats and the Republicans, or even the Democrats, the Republicans, and Trump supporters?
I'll speak for myself. We got to do the right thing. We have to do the right thing. Look, there's nothing I think is above doing the right thing. If you don't win your reelection, so be it. So be it. But do the right thing. And then we have people like Senator Josh Hawley, Senator Ted Cruz, who are disgraceful. You know, they think that they can step forward and take away votes from voters in Arizona, take away votes from voters in Pennsylvania. They knew what they were talking about was a lie. They know that. They're smart guys. They're Ivy League guys who just are more concerned about their political ambition than they are about the democracy of this great nation. And frankly, I have little use for anybody who wants to put their ambitions and their political party before the sanctity of our democracy. And I've seen way too much of it. And we have to unite this nation. We have to work together. I'm looking to work with reasonable Republicans and reasonable Democrats to get the nation's work done. And over these next 2 years, this fifth term that I'm in, that is what I'm looking to do.
When we were watching the video of the people outside the Capitol scaling part of the building and also being on top of some scaffolding that's there, you think that that is where the inauguration is going to be held. Do you think that it will be a safe inauguration? I mean, do you have concerns about the inauguration ceremonies at that location where we saw this mob rule on Wednesday?
Well, look, we've already seen the resignations of the person who leads the Capitol Police, others who showed poor leadership. Jim, I want to note, in light of this question right now, that the rank and file Capitol Police officers who were on the House floor saved my life. They saved the life of other members of Congress who were on the floor, who were in the gallery, who were saved from this angry, vicious, deranged mob. And so I think it's very, very important to note that we had heroes that day in the Capitol Police and the police officers who came and helped save the Capitol building and the members of Congress who were there that day. And I believe that it was a failure of leadership that we saw that day, of those leading the Capitol Police officers, the Capitol Police Force, and the other police forces that were called in. It was a failure of leadership. And so I believe on August 20th, when it's inauguration, the police are going to do the best they can to keep everybody safe under new leadership. And, I hope and pray that it will be a momentous day that will be flawless in every sense of the word, and will be safe in every sense of the word.
You showed a picture on social media of the protective gear that you were told to wear. Basically, it looked like a plastic bag to a person who doesn't really know what it was really meant for. Is that when it really got real to you?
Well, I think it got real to me when a colleague of mine who was sitting right next to me handed me his phone and showed me this group of people that was storming up the steps of the Capitol building. And I said, when did this happen? And he said, this is live television that he was watching on his phone. And it was not too long, probably within minutes of him showing me that you could start hearing a commotion outside the House floor. And then I saw Speaker Pelosi taken off the House floor. She was up on the dais overseeing the proceedings. She was taken off. Probably within a minute of that, our majority leader, Steny Hoyer, and then our majority whip, Jim Clyburn, were taken off. They're, you know, the three top highest ranking members of the U.S. House of Representatives. Probably within a minute or so, a couple minutes of that, someone from Capitol Police got on the microphone and told all of us to be prepared to get on the floor. And then probably a minute or two or three later, told us to reach under our seats and grab our gas masks that were, you know, all packaged up and be ready to put those on. But all the while that's going on, you're hearing this get louder and louder inside. And, you know, you saw the image of the police officers with their guns drawn and, you know, they barricaded our door. Again, this is the door where the President of the United States would walk through on the State of the Union. That door, if you can picture that, right, you know, going up the center aisle, you know, that's where this mob was coming in. On top, again, where the gallery is, the mob had surrounded those doors and we were pounding on those doors. And, so when you ask if there was a moment when it got real, you know, all that's everything that was going on. Where my mind went was to just try to figure out, you know, two steps ahead and what, not only what I was going to do, but I had an older member of Congress behind me, an older member of Congress to my right, both women, who I wanted to make sure, you know, could get out, with all of us and could stay, you know, up with all of us. And, you know, there's, a guy named Colin Allred, who's a just finished his freshman term in Congress, just sworn in a few days earlier to go into a second term, who was right in front of me, one row in front of me. And he was a former NFL player. He's from the state of Texas. And I said, Colin, I want to stick by you. And, you know, before you know it, Colin has his suit jacket off and he was ready to do what he had to do to be protective. And, you know, it wasn't just the Capitol Police inside the House chambers who were the heroes. You know, Colin was looking out for us. We have combat veterans among our members of Congress, and they were great. They knew how to talk us through putting a gas mask on, how you breathe in a gas mask. You know, I've never had a gas mask on in my life. I didn't know what to do and didn't even know how to get it out of the packaging. But you had our colleagues, you know, especially these combat veterans, Ruben Gallego from the state of Arizona, Jason Crow from the state of Colorado, who protected us and did what they could to keep us calm and made sure that we got out of there safely. So, you know, the Capitol Police and these members who, you know, knew what to do in a terrible situation, they were the heroes of the day.
Well, I want to thank you for taking time to talk to us. I do have one more question on a totally unrelated topic, and that has to do with Illinois politics. And I know that you have a very close relationship with Michael Madigan. There is a great deal of talk about that it's his time to step down from the leadership role in the Illinois legislature. What do you say in that area of critics who say that perhaps his time has come and gone?
Well, I would say, first of all, I serve in Congress. I don't serve in the state house. You know, Michael Madigan is not somebody I work with day to day. I mean, your characterization that I'm close to him, I'm a member of Congress. I'm not a member of the state legislature. So that will play out. It's a matter of days before they have their leadership election. And those members of the Illinois State House will make those decisions. But I do want to go back to one other point that I think is very, very important about what happened this past week. And that's this. Despite the fact that we had this angry mob this treasonous mob, I will call them, they wanted to take over government. They wanted to do harm to members of Congress. In the end, democracy prevailed. And it's worth noting that despite the fact that, you know, we had to go to the safe and secure location, had to stay there for hours, munching on Goldfish crackers and Skittles because we had no other food. But in the end, we went back to the House floor. The senators went back to the Senate floor, and we got the nation's work done. We certified the Electoral College vote. We can say that in the end, democracy prevailed. And as we go forward and look forward to this inauguration, it is really important to note that democracy will prevail. And I think that is really the lesson of the day.
Representative Sherry Bustos, Democrat from Illinois.
Thanks for listening to The Cities with Jim Mertens. And watch The Cities Thursday nights at 7, Sunday afternoon at 4, and Monday night at 6 on WQPT, PBS for the Quad Cities region.
WQAD Podcast Network.